Hello, Dublab listeners. Today I am joined in the studio by none other than Mr. Daniel Avery.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
On your whirlwind tour to promote your DJ Kicks album. I'm really happy that you could take the time.
Good to be here.
Tell LA about a little bit more about Dan. LA and the world a little bit more about Dan Avery and your meteoric, which is never always really meteoric, rise. So my introduction to you was from the single Light Into Dark, which is, I guess, was a prior release.
Yeah, that was that came out on a New York label called Throne of Blood.
Uh-huh.
And what year? I can't remember. But yeah, it came out a year or two before Drone Logic.
Right.
There was another one as well. I released an EP on Relish, which is Headman's label.
Uh-huh.
But then Drone Logic happened and came out in the first EP for Fantasy came out in 2012. I should probably know this, but
I was going to say it's like 2012, 2013.
Yeah, the two EPs for Fantasy, and then the album came shortly after.
Right. And what was your kind of inspiration behind, okay, now it's album time, or did it just kind of organically happen?
The story goes that, so I've been friends with Errol Alcan for a while, and he's always been an inspiration to me. And it kind of naturally happened, just started, he asked to hear some demos of mine, and they turned into the first EP. Second EP included the track Drone Logic. And I went down, and I used to do some work in Andrew Weatherall's studio.
Uh-huh.
I went down to his place and handed him a CD. He was the first person to have the track Drone Logic.
Oh, wow.
Because I kind of made it with, not him in mind in particularly, but I thought that he might dig it, or
right.
I hoped he might.
Yeah.
And he called me the next day and said, I played in London last night, and that was the biggest track of the night.
Oh.
And I called Errol immediately. He said, let's try and make an album. We'll see what happens.
Wow, nice. And so it was really just kind of inspired by... Yeah, this works.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was, you know, I was rewatching a movie the other day, and, you know, the famous quote from it is like, everything's been done and there's nothing that you can do that's original anymore. And certainly it felt completely original and completely new and different and, you know, kind of exciting, like, hooray, like somebody's done something different again.
thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think there were definite nods to the past in it, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt... The album was not difficult to make in that it just felt like maybe I had something. And when it was done, I knew that I had something that I wanted to shout about with it.
Yeah, good. Should we play something from that?
Yeah, let's play that track. Let's play the title
track.
Let's
play that track. We're good to go here.
High. Thank you.
fantastic. So, at this point, were you DJing? Did you have kind of a club kind of background? Were you kind of thinking of the club when you made that record?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, DJing came before anything else. I started DJing when I was 18 in my hometown, a small town, south coast of England. But not playing techno. I was playing post-punk and new wave and that kind of thing.
Right.
That's how I began.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that a long time. So DJing definitely came first. And in London, I was fortunate enough to build a relationship with Fabric from very early. I mean, they supported me really early on. And I did a CD, a Fabric Live CD for them.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, I think Drone Logic, it was definitely born out of the nightclub.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to kind of, as with everything I try and do, make it reach a little further than that.
Yeah. No, that's kind of why I asked, because I wondered, it seemed like it might not have even been born out of the nightclub, you know. I mean, upon the first time hearing it, you know, it sounded to me like a punk guy kind of making dance music, you know. Yeah, like, that might have been your second, you know, kind of choice.
I was obsessed with, my first love as a teenager was guitar music. Well, the first love was metal music.
Yeah.
And so that crunch of a guitar, I think, is still, I think you can hear it in.
Yeah.
Even if I try not to do it, I think it's still there. I definitely see, I mean, I still think of myself as an indie kid more than anything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole thought process, you know. It's like, I grew up in the north too, so
right.
You can't be, not be an indie kid if you from outside of London, even inside of London. But yeah, no, I really, it came across to me like, oh, I wonder if this guy made this by accident. You know, you have all these wild stories that go on in your mind when you hear a track. And I wondered, you know, I'm like, sounds like a guitar person making, you know, dance music possibly by accident. You know, it seemed like there weren't such, it was like ruleless in a way, you know.
I think, I mean, when I first started getting into electronic music, it was through people like Weatherall and Errol and Ivan Smug and even like Michael Meyer and stuff, people who I felt were outsiders to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And had kind of similar reference points to me. They weren't you know, where I'm from, like, it's not a dance culture, but dance music means like Bridge and Tunnel.
Yeah.
Idiots,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't interested in that at all. So when I found those guys, it's like, okay. They're coming at it from the outside.
Yeah.
And I can do that too, I think.
Yeah, these are my tribe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You want to play us something else? Okay. From Drone Logic.
Thank you.
So same EP, but kind of slightly developing into...
Yeah, Simulrek was the last track I made from the album. I think it's probably my favorite track off Drone Logic. And it's quite... it's something of an indicator of where my head was going towards the end of the record and where it might be now or where it started to go.
Yeah. Did you, what was the kind of, time frame that was made over?
Probably a year in total.
Right.
I think.
And then upon release, was it kind of, people came kind of rushing to you? I feel like I might have been one of those people, or were you?
I don't think that happened.
No.
I think it's, for me, probably the thing I'm most proud of with Drone Logic is that it was a slow burner.
Right.
And people still seem to be finding it for the first time now.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I wanted, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we touched on that in kind of our own conversation about how we were products of radio and listening to the radio, perhaps when we shouldn't be, you know, under our duvets, and kind of feeling like we discovered a secret. And I definitely felt that with this album. And I definitely felt like the peer-to-peer, because of course it's never getting, you know, traditional radio play. So, you know, and we're all the way over here in LA. So it was definitely a tight-knit group of people here that we felt like we'd unlocked a secret, and we were kind of very keen to share it. You know how sometimes you'll find something and you're like, oh, I'm keeping this one for me. It was kind of like celebrated and shared wildly with my kind of circle of friends, for sure. And, you know, it's definitely still being discovered. I noticed that. You're right. You know, I'll play it to people and, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's from the first, you know, kind of celebrated EP. And they think that maybe it was your latest, you know, which is, I guess, a great position to be in.
Yeah. It's definitely the thing that pleases me the most about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having remixes, you said you had remixes.
Yeah, so what happened, I mean, we just got a few remixes done initially, but then those few turned into quite a lot. Just from people who I felt something of a connection with, and I also started a night called Divided Love,
right,
at Fabric.
Uh-huh.
We've done a few elsewhere. We did one in LA last year, in fact.
Yeah.
And just this idea of kind of building some small family,
uh-huh,
of like-minded souls, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the remix album eventually became a remix album called New Energy, which came a double remix album, which came out a year and a bit afterwards. Yeah, I was very proud of it. I think this idea of outsiders making club music is,
yeah,
kind of a line that runs through the remix album.
Yeah. So was it kind of your call? I guess I should rephrase that wrong earlier. Like, people were kind of coming to you like, oh, let me kind of attack this record. Or was it very much you thinking, oh, I feel like this person has something that they could bring?
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of reaching out to people and also playing a lot with people and inviting some of them to play the club, and yeah, it all kind of works out quite naturally in that regard.
Yeah. Which one would you like to play?
Let's play a guy called Powell, who remixed Water Jump. He's just had a record out on XL, which I heartily recommend.
Oh, there you go. Tips as well.
Jump. also sometimes really silly.
Such head music right there.
I love it.
Lost into it. Is it great for you to kind of get sent something like that and see, you know, the thing that you created turned into something?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the idea of a remix and someone just doing their own take on something.
Yeah, I mean, because you'll never imagine, you know, what's going on in other people's heads with the music that you've made, and it must be so exciting to get something like that.
Yeah, for sure, every time.
It's like, music for artist descent. It's just so wonderful.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so I guess, you know, you toured kind of extensively at that time.
Yeah, I mean, still feel like I'm part of, you know, of that tour.
Yeah.
Playing a lot, DJing a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's been great. But there's always been a slight frustration that I haven't had enough time to get back into the studio.
Right, of course.
I'm not complaining one bit, but one thing that happened is that a good friend of mine, Casper from London, who records as Vault Face, mm-hmm. Vault Fast, if you like, we've been talking about making music just without any pressure of, you know, expectation or anything.
Yeah, like either one of your names kind
of
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we made a project called Rote, R-O-T-E, as just a sort of some kind of outlet of something else, you know?
Yeah.
And we've currently made two EPs on Casper's label Bleed from London. It's kind of just an experiment more than anything, really. I'm really happy with everything we've done so far.
Yeah. And do you think in any way, was it always an idea to do that, or was it kind of even more spurred on, in fact, by the remixes and the collaborative kind of process?
I like how different it feels to work with someone else like that, for sure.
Yeah.
It does feel different.
Huh.
I mean, I've got, you know, 10 ideas in my head of different projects I want to do over the next few years. We'll see what happens, but I feel inspired right now and excited to try the thing.
That's good news for us. Well, I guess with that said, we should play Rote. And is it Volte Face or Volte Face?
It's up to you.
Yeah, they clear up the
It means about debated. Turn.
Yeah.
You can choose that one.
You can decide. Okay, so let's play. What's the track?
The track is called End of the Sky.
Okay.
Thank you.
that's a really beautiful piece of music. Are you dictated to by your surroundings in any way, or is it just kind of like it's you hear that, or you go into the studio and you kind of are inspired by a journey that you've had on the way, or
partly that, but I think I have a studio in a old converted shipping container in East London, and it's right next to the water, so it looks out onto the water, and it's quite secluded where it is, and I think it does have an effect on my head and certain, I don't know, I guess it does, it must do. I like that escape from everything. It's important to me. I think right now it feels, you know, we can all feel it pretty, it's the noise from the outside world is pretty deafening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's constant as well.
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a shitter of a year for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So for me, club music, clubs and electronic music and music in general is like a space just to take a breath in life, you know? So that's something that I feel stronger and stronger every day.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to making music, I think that's really creeping into what I do.
Right. I mean, that track particularly that you guys made together is definitely arresting in the way that it makes you kind of, someone like me, it makes me kind of stop, and it's kind of soothing.
I think the idea of music being hypnotic as well, is that I think, I mean, we'll probably come onto this later with the DJ Kicks, but this idea of music being able to take you somewhere else and something that takes time and you kind of have to give yourself up to it, I think is really important to me.
Yeah, I can't really listen to music when I'm working on kind of writing, for example, because it takes me completely over. You know, I know a lot of people like have that ability and they'll just put music on and it's in the background. But you know, if something like that were to come on, you know, in my world when I was working, it would completely take me away from that for the day.
I think,
which is not a bad thing.
Well, I'm keen for my music not to ever be anonymous.
Right.
That's something that's very important to me. I want something that will hopefully stay with you somehow, and I don't know. Background music is not what I'm going for
exactly.
At any point.
Yeah, good. So, leading us on to...
Yeah, okay, so post Drone Logic and Rote happened sort of in the middle of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I got asked to make something for as a 50th release for Fantasy, Feral's label, and I had a couple of ideas in mind, but this track Sensation is a really good indicator of everything we're just talking about.
Right.
Just going to clubs personally, I'm really interested in this idea of techno that's kind of inspired as much by like ambient music and drone music, mm-hmm. and noise and that kind of thing, as much as it is by techno itself.
Yeah.
So this is kind of my take on it. Let's play it.
Yeah. That's the best thing.
Thank you.
would be here for too long if we just kind of told the stories of, you know, my first listening of that. But it's really wonderful, and it makes me really excited for what's next.
It's probably one of my favorite things I've made, that track. And yeah, I mean, there is a new album coming. I mean, if someone put a gun to my head tomorrow and said, release something, I've got 3 or 4 albums worth of stuff.
Oh, wow.
But of the album I want to make, I think I'm probably about halfway through. I'm taking some time off the beginning of next year to really nail it. Well, to try and nail it.
Yeah.
But it's happening. The new album is coming. Yeah, uh-huh. Sure.
And so does this, you know, let's talk about your DJ Kicks release. In a way, is there a kind of a thread of you kind of putting the music that means something to you together and kind of like getting comfortable with that and seeing the reaction to that?
Does that
help in an album making process, or is it completely like a sideline?
I think it's important that they are totally separate. The DJ Kicks and Drone Logic and the new album, they're not the same thing. They're not going for the same goals. Uh-huh. And it's really important for me to get that point across to people. The DJ Kicks, this idea that we talked about of being in a club and time sort of becoming irrelevant. I'm talking about someone on the, me being on the dance floor and having those moments of the past few years. And it's linear on purpose, you know, that's part of, you know, it's kind of like that idea of, you know, that motorway idea, you know, it's been done before, like Kraftwerk did it with, you know, that was something, that also by an idea. But that, I mean, I think it's still very relevant now. I think, you know, I think for me, like clubs is right now more important than ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the world outside, like fucking hell, like what else going on out there?
Yeah.
So for those moments where you can just go to a club and like the outside world just becomes like just inconsequential.
Yeah, you turn it off.
Yeah.
You surrender to something else.
So, you know, this is my small take on that idea, and it being the idea of it being hypnotic, and yeah, I don't know, that's the idea for the whole DJ Kicks.
So do you feel, you know, when you made, when you kind of were pulling the tunes together for DJ Kicks, was that a long process, or was that something that you kind of...
It happened quite quick, because I knew there's a certain artists and labels who I knew I wanted to include.
Mm-hmm.
The labels like Northern Electronics from Sweden and Semantica from Spain, and all of these guys doing this idea of this, to me, what sounds like a new take on techno.
Yeah.
And it's just exciting to me right now. I pulled it together quite quickly in that regard. And then I've made... There's a new Rote track on there, and there's 2 new Avery tracks on there as well.
Okay.
I made especially for it.
And do you think you'll let them live on the DJ Kicks?
I want them to stay there.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, the DJ Kicks, it's... I've already had some people say it's not Drone Logic, is it? You know, it doesn't have like the dynamics of Drone Logic, and I'm like, yeah, good. It's not meant to.
Yeah.
It's the idea is that it's just, yeah, I don't know. I can't quite put into words, but the idea is that it's like somewhere that it's an autobahn. The idea of that.
Yeah. You know. Whenever I can't explain that kind of thing, I'm like, it's just head music.
Yeah. I mean, I know how pretentious I sound, but I don't really mind. And that, I think, for me, actually, the rough idea of what I wanted it to be was that, like a dream. So it starts with an In Aiton and Vale track, someone who I really love, an ambient track, and then it finishes on an ambient track of mine. And the idea being that you kind of, it's a dream, like, in the middle of those.
Yeah.
It's something that doesn't feel like reality in any way.
Yeah, which is something that your music definitely has, as in the music that you make. I mean, I've been fortunate to see you DJ a lot too. It's can be, you know, on the surface, the hardest of the hardest, you know, for people to get their heads around. It's like, oh, this is banging techno. And you're like, it's actually so beautiful and ambient and pretty and, you know, like,
I hope so.
Dreamlike state. I can lie back in, you know, those kind of half nap sun sleeps. Yeah. And that's the music I want playing in my brain.
Yeah. Well, me too. I don't think of it like, even like the hardest of tracks, I think that that warmth and the depth of a kick drum is kind of comforting and enveloping.
I agree.
Yeah, so for me that's what I wanted. I'm really happy with the DJ kicks, and it's like we said, it's different to what will come next from you know, an album, but that was the idea.
Yeah, so it will play as something from
So this is the track Space Echo, which is an ambient record I made to close the whole thing.
Right. And did you make it with that in mind, or is it
I had an idea for it, a place for it.
Okay, well, let's listen to that. So that's a beautiful piece of music. Where do you stand on, you know, like the live instrumentation thing? Because I feel like it's almost like it's a symphony to me. You know, I don't know if that's like a silly word, but do you have like aspirations to kind of score for a symphony? You know, sounds really crazy to say, but it's so wildly orchestral to me, you know.
I'm definitely interested in that idea.
Yeah.
I've got something in my head, but yeah, I mean, we'll see one day.
Yeah. It's like a particular ear, you know, for like an ear for beats or an ear for symphony. And I hear it in there, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we started with this interview, like, it's all born from the world of techno. But yeah, I like the idea that it can exist way beyond that.
Yeah. And what were your kind of influences? I know we touched on them a little bit of, you know, when you were kind of first experiencing music and deciding what you liked growing up, what were those influences?
Well, things like Aphex Twin and Bjork and that side of electronica.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I didn't associate it at all with dance music.
Right.
Which I think helped, you know, for me anyway. And I'm going back to those now more than ever. And they're definitely coming back to the front of my head.
Yeah. Do you have in mind, I know that Drone Logic has, you know, various vocal samples and, you know, like little snippets of vocal. Do you have vocals in mind ever? Is that something that you think down the line you want to explore? Or do you not really feel like you're bound to that whole, where's the vocalist?
Not in the traditional sense, uh-huh. No. The idea for all those sort of cold female vocals on Drone Logic was kind of me. That was a sort of nod to, I guess, like post-punk world.
Yeah.
All those records that I used to love. The new stuff, I think, I mean, I do like a human element in all of it, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
Whether that's like a... the drums being played live or
right.
I mean, I don't know what the new record's gonna turn out like, but some kind of human heart to it.
Yeah. Nice. Do you want to play another track from DJ Kicks?
Yeah, so this is the track called A Mechanical Sky, which was the club track I made for DJ Kicks, and
because it's worth pointing out that it is quite a journey, you know. It's like you said yourself, it ends ambient, it starts ambient, so you know you are taking it from, you know, almost reclining to you can't recline and then back down to that again.
I think an important part of an idea I had in my head the whole time was that even when the music can get quite intense, it never becomes aggressive.
Right.
Like aggression is something I'm not interested in music.
Uh-huh.
I'd much rather, you know, I'm definitely up for stuff being abrasive, but it's never really got its fist clenched, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in like eyes being closed rather than fist clenched.
Right. That's a really interesting perception. Okay, let's look. What's the next track you're going to play?
So this is A Mechanical Sky.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
listening to that just makes me feel all kinds of excited ways for the weekend ahead or the night ahead, or, you know, it's a, you know, it's just kind of, I listen to that and I'm already in my mind on a dance floor somewhere, you know, maybe a dance floor that's like real or imagined, but it just, you know, is begging for a big sound system. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
So even though we could talk all day, I talk behind like off a donkey, I guess we should round out with something and of your choosing.
let's go with this other rote track, because I don't think it's ever been played on the radio. So,
oh, that's exciting. Yeah.
It's called Sun in the Night. It's another ambient thing, something that just happened really quick, but yeah, a side of what I do that I feel like is becoming more and more important.
Right. And have you been able to play in places or in environments where you've been able to kind of express both of these sides?
Yeah, this year in particular, I've played quite a few sets where I've done, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours, which is definitely my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Just build a room from the ground up.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that idea of patience with everything, but this idea of taking a breath and a kind of everyone in the room has a role to play, where it's not about, you know, quick easy fixes, you know. Yeah. You have to go with it. This is a trip and you can come with us if you want.
Yeah, it's like you have to surrender. There's a surrender. Sure. That happens even as a, you know, as a crowd, when I'm, you know, when I know I'm going to hear a DJ play a significant amount of time, you just, you know, the set times and all of that kind of thing is gone, and you just are surrendering to this person and to this room and to everybody else for the entire evening. And
it's definitely my favorite thing about a club.
It's my favorite thing to, as, you know, to be a part of, you know, whether too. I'm DJing. Yeah. Or just kind of I'm in the crowd. I have very little patience for kind of 2-hour DJ sets. It's just,
Yeah, I'd much rather play longer if I could.
Yeah, well, good. Let's hope more of that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to hearing
Thanks,
you
Heidi.
Here in LA again.
Great to be here.
We're lucky. So we'll end out on Rote for the first time on radio.